I don't, my intention is, when I started this the last time I had a Sunday school lesson, it wasn't to browbeat anybody or to try to just hop on or wear out the fact that you need to give. We all know we need to give. I feel like, and this is my opinion, y'all may have a different opinion, but what I want to do, and myself included, is to give us some basic ground foundation, so to speak, so that you know how to respond when you hear people say, I don't go to church because all they want is your money, or something to that effect. And like me and my wife were talking the other day, we come to church pretty much the same way every Sunday, like a bunch of you all do. You go through this street, that street. But if someone was asked you, what was the name of that street? You're like, You go on it all the time, but it doesn't come to your mind what the name of the street is. That's what I hope to achieve with this lesson, to give us a foundation as to not to just say something, but to say something that's based on what we learned in our lesson. That this is why we give, and this is why we have the heart to give, and what the purpose is. Because, truthfully, the people that don't go to church don't know, and they form their own opinion. And we got a lot of people that do go to church occasionally. They may not be affiliated with a church spiritually, but they will come out with statements like that. Now, that's all they do. They all they want is your money. Every time I go there, that's all they're asking for. But we have to get them to realize there's more to it than just that. Just like, you never hear nobody say, I don't go to church because they always singing. You never say that. I don't go to church because they always praying. You never hear them say that. But they use that as an excuse. So this is just, hopefully this will be a lesson that goes to basis of what we can use. Looking on page 55, and this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In case you don't have your book, you can follow along in the Bible. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. We had that speak in the beginning of the lesson, too, the first four verses. I'll read that right quick. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gifts to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Can I get someone to start off in that section, a time to give? On page 55.
Giving when the church assembles on the first day of the week is a blessing when Christians recognize that giving is worship. Giving is praise. It is not as if the church assembles for worship and then, as an appendage to praise, passes the collection plate. Giving is integral to worship, not an appendage. God's people don't give because they have been browbeaten into it, not because they have been taken on a guilt trip. Money is given like our songs and our prayers are given. It is given in praise. It is an act of worship, an expression of the love and closeness we feel to the God who has given us life.
Okay. That's one thing that we can definitely let it be known. It is a part of worship. Mm-hmm. You know, we worship God. This is a chance for us to show how much we appreciate what God has done for us. And of course, you can take it from there and go into a whole lot of different other directions with it. But to let them know that if you say you love God or you know God, then you should be willing to give something back to Him, because after all, where did it come from? He gave it to us first. And, of course, this is an open discussion, so y'all feel free to jump in at a time. Second paragraph, anybody?
Paul gave the Corinthian Christians instruction about worship when he told each to put aside and save as he may prosper, 1 Corinthians 16:2. The putting aside was to be done during the assembly on the first day of the week. The immediate purpose for the collection was to send a gift to the needy in the church of Jerusalem, but there is no implication that the church is to give for a common cause only when confronted with a crisis.
Okay. It would, I think it's a very good idea, especially as mentioned here that for a common crisis, how many times have you left home, you were supposed to have brought something with you, and you get to where you're going and you realize, yeah, I left. For a common cause, you have other opportunities to contribute. So if you, even if you left it, you have another opportunity to bring another time. And that's just for the common cause, but it's a time that we all want to do it together. So it's not like you're doing it by yourself. You're not the only one. And even if you don't have, you shouldn't have to feel guilty about it because, like I said, where did it come from in the beginning? God bless us. Yes.
I don't know if I agree with that because it says in Scripture, it's a command. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as you may prosper. It doesn't mean, oh, maybe I can't do it this week or maybe I'll do it next week or, well, I don't feel like giving this week. On the first day of every week, you're supposed to put something aside.
Okay. I hear your point. That's what Paul told them on the first day of the week, because that's when they came together.
Well, that's when we come together.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the example that we're following.
That's right.
And yes, that's the example we're supposed to use.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it, or if God knows what you got. He knows how you feel about it.
Well, but it's like the woman with the two mites.
Yeah. She gave all she had.
That's right. That's all she had. So she gave it.
But her heart was in the right place.
Mm,
a lot of people gave a lot more than she did, but their heart wasn't in the right place. But your point is that it doesn't mean that you should give it whenever you want to.
Yeah, we make excuses of why we can't give something.
Oh, yeah. That's because God gives us free choice, free will.
Well, I only get paid once a month.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, but you can divvy that up to give something each first day of the week, correct?
That's correct. God gives so you free choice.
So you don't give it just once a month, you give it four times a month.
Wait, you can.
Five times a month.
You can.
Five Sundays.
Well, but it's a command to give each first day of the week.
Yes, and if you gave on the first of the month, when you got paid, that covers the rest of the time. This is the way you line up your bills.
Well, but that's not given on the first day of every week.
Okay.
But then the church can divvy it
out. Well, yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying, okay, I understand what you're saying. We can follow that example, but we can't be held strict to that because God gives us the free will to do it to our advantage.
Well, then we can't be held strict to any of the other commands.
And you still have free will to follow any command and every command. A lot of people don't. A lot of people try to bend it to fit their ways. That was one of the problems with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were going by the rules so strictly that they put more emphasis on the rules than what the purpose of the rule was for. Now, if you get paid at the first of the month and you want to put your money in at the first of the month, that covers the whole month, that's fine. At least just give me a chance. at least you're covered, right? Who's to say that you're going to divide it up for each week? Who's to say you're going to live through the rest of that month to be able to give your money?
Well, does that matter?
Yes, it matters, because you just said you're supposed to do it on the first day of the week.
Yeah, if but you if follow you that did, rule, then, well, you can't give.
That's true. So, but your heart...
I mean, God's not going to hold that against you.
Well, not when you had the opportunity to give on the first day of the week, and you could have gave what you had, whether it was all that you had, like your two mics, or whether you wanted, well, I'm going to hold back some, like you were saying, well, I don't want to give it this week because I don't feel like it, or I got something else I'm going to do, and I'll double up next week. You still had a free will. You see what I'm saying? It's your choice. We are instructed.
It's not a situation for everybody on that, because if life has taught me one thing, that trying to do it every week, life is happening, something comes up, but if I say first and foremost, this is it. I mean, not it in the general sense that, like, that's all I'm doing. But
that's a good point, though.
If I can say, Lord, you know, I prayed over my finances, and you gave it to me, and I'm asking you to help me bless and do what I need to do, and this is my portion. Mm-hmm. If something happens and I'm better off than I was, I feel better, and I think me and my Lord have a better relationship in that, because I didn't wait and life happens, like that car repair that came up unexpectedly or whatever it may be. You know, some of us don't have that willpower, and I'm going to be honest, I'm one of them. So if I don't do it, like, when I have it, and then...
Well, I guess that's the point. You know, you do it when you have it, right?
But I may not have it every Sunday, but I'm still going to come, and I'm going to have a heart saying, Lord, please bless what I've done, what I can continue to do. Because, yes, we're talking about the financial needs and the financial service of the church and the body, but it may not always be in money that I have to give, but I will make sure that I give my tithing, my financial contribution to him as early as I can. Not saying, oh, I'll give it on the third Sunday. I understand his word, but he is going to be gracious to accept my offering if it's his will.
The main thing we have to consider is, as you said, this is scripture. This is the rule, it's...
Example.
Yes, it's the example, but this is the guidelines for us to go by and understand the purpose. And God gives us free will to go by the guidelines to the best of our ability. None of us are perfect. None of us going to keep all of the scriptures, all of the guidelines, all of the regulations and rules that we're supposed to, but we strive to do our best. And God gives us a mind, and he gives us the opportunity. The main thing is, where is your heart at? How do you going to work in what God wants you to do in your way, how you think? To you, it's every week, and I'm going to do it every week. To someone else, because I get paid once a month, I'm going to give it once a month. To somebody else, I get paid twice a month. I'm going to give some that will cover this 2 weeks, and some that will cover this 2 weeks. It's your free will to do, but you have the guideline, and you have to go by that, because that's what he tells us to do. And again, it's where your heart is. That's the most important thing.
You know, God only wants 10%, you know.
No, he doesn't.
Even people want 50%.
That's not true.
No, God...
10%
ain't much. 10% doesn't apply to us today. At times past, it was a guideline for those at that particular time. But it's not for us today, because we're in the New Testament. So we give as we purpose in our heart what you feel is right. Yeah.
You know, when you think about why Paul was telling them this, is because the churches wanted to help that poverty-stricken Jerusalem church. Mm-hmm. The Gentiles had promised Paul they wanted to help, and he was coming to collect. And he gives us this example, and when you think about being poverty-stricken, that's us today, isn't it? A lot of people,
yeah.
We know.
Yeah.
We can't give money that we would like to give, right. But bring a canned good for Pete's sake, or give us your time in setting up the fellowship hall for the singing, or give us a Bible study with somebody in need. All of these are ways that we can give, and it can be any time of the week. But if you can't give money at that time, and these people were poor enough that they would accept anything Paul would give them, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember, we're living in some tough times, too. And yes, I would definitely, if it were me, I would definitely, if I was paid once a week, I would save it and give a little each for each day of the week, because you need to pay your bills, too. The church needs to pay their bills, too, and we're doing what we can. But if it's easier for you where nothing else is going to interfere, then maybe that one time a month is good, but God knows. Like okay. He said, you know, He knows our hearts. And yes,
some
that is
put $50 in a plate and have a heart attack. Why'd I do that? What'd I do that for?
You didn't do it for the right reason.
You ain't going to do it, but don't put it in there.
Right. If you're not doing it for the right reason.
Looking for something bad, don't put it in there.
Anyway. Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
All right, I'm going to go, of course, Scripture. And I'm going to jump into Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11 and following. Yeah, Hebrews 5, verse 11 and following. Where he's talking about, let me read. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age that they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Okay, I'll end right there. You see here, he's talking to people who sometimes have to revisit the Word. And he's also admonishing them that they should be at a level where they're more mature. Mm-hmm. And so same for us in our understanding about what God would have us to do with the finances. And so, as mentioned before, the lady with the two mites, I'm going to then jump into this verse right here, where he's talking about the supremacy of God. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 22. Colossians 1, 15 through 22. Where it states, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Mm-hmm. We need to focus on that statement right there. If you're going to live your life in such a way that does not give Him the first fruits, the best of what you got, because He is due that, mm-hmm. then yes, we have to go on and be more mature, that we do plan, taking consideration what God has given us, and learn from past mistakes, mm-hmm. or history, or yeah, the car breaks, the car's going to need new tires, insurance, whatever. You know, we're good to make sure we have all that taken care of, mm-hmm. but are you more concerned about the car or about God? I mean, so again, we need to go be more mature and grow in our faith and have the trust that, as we have all of us witness here, God has provided. Even when we thought the finances weren't there. We know that to be true. Mm-hmm. And so if we do plan to give as example, where it is an example, and it's good to have the example so that we don't have to, quote unquote, guess, well, they lay by in store every week. Well, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Lord willing. We had an opportunity, I had an opportunity to talk to one of the visiting preachers who goes and to the lectureships. And so he was at the one of the lectureships there in Florida. He'd been doing it for a while. For whatever reason, he asked me about how do you handle giving when we're so far away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, it is the Lord's church. And wherever you, God sent you, He sent you there for a reason. Now, and we're supposed to set the example that you may have a new convert sitting right next to you, and he's or she's, how do I supposed to do this contribution thing? But he sees that you pass over the plate. What kind of example do you give? I know that it's not the preeminence, because God knows, as we all know that. But again, we're still our brother's keeper. We're still supposed to encourage. And so what I suggested to him is that you already know what you're going to get every month, in his case. Mm-hmm. So put what you're going to give per week, put it in an envelope, and then when you come here or there or wherever, you can just drop your contribution there.
Yes, that's a good example, very good example. After one, which is not often, but when we do have an opportunity to go, and we, go out of town, we're going to make a contribution there, but we're going to still make our contribution here because this is our home here. And just because we're gone, everything else is still going on here, but that still is a good example, as you said. And again, we have to look at the purpose of why this scripture was here. They were doing this for a crisis to aid the church. Mm-hmm. And that was feasible for them at that time, as Paul said, first day of the week when you come together, bring your gift in. When you was talking, you made me think about our benevolence box.
Mm-hmm.
How burdensome would it be on the first day of the week, you got to bring a box with all of the stuff in it. Everybody need to bring a box with everything in it. That's a burden. And it's not saying we couldn't do it, but it would still be a little burdensome, y'all know what I'm trying to say, to everybody coming here with a box. We may have 50, 60 boxes at one time. But it would be more feasible and less burdensome if on the first day of the week, each of us bring a item or bring what you can, what you purpose in your heart. Mm-hmm. Bring something to contribute. As collectively, we are doing this for a crisis for the needy. Mm-hmm. And when it's needed, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 boxes ready. Because we don't know how often someone's going to be in need or how many people are going to be in need. So we do it, and we do it continuously so that we will have it. But it's still your prerogative as to how you want to do it. Grant you, I like the point. The scripture said, and remember, this is what messed up the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The scripture says this, and they too were not following the scriptures the way they were supposed to, but yet still they are so strict on the scriptures that they forget what the purpose of the scriptures was for.
Well, you can live by the scripture and not be legalistic.
Okay, You lost me there because I don't know what legalistic is.
It's just what you're saying.
The Pharisees and Sadducees were going to such great points to make sure you didn't violate the law.
Uh-huh.
Whereas God said,
okay,
yeah, your heart is not in the right place.
Right.
Because if you did everything correctly out of the heart, there would be no need for law.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we don't have to follow the time for the Pharisees and the Sadducees no more.
Yeah, them things they brought in them boxes back then, they were more money. Might have been something in it. Clothes, food, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bring hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Clothes, pants, shirt, coats.
But it was still like it was still for the needy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the purpose, to help the needy. That's what we're focusing on, the purpose. But I appreciate the point, and I think that was a very good point to need to bring up.
I don't know whether they had canned goods back in or not. No,
I don't think
it
did.
They did back
no. Okay, let's move on to, we'll get one more paragraph. I guess I won't get through as far as I want to today either, but anyway, at least we'll have some bases, I hope. Some needs are constant. Someone would take that one.
Some needs are constant. Benevolent work is long term. There's no vacation from preaching the gospel. The need for a facility for preaching, teaching, and fellowship goes on week to week. And it's true that no treasury is explicitly mentioned in the New Testament, but it's clear that churches had common funds to meet collective needs. The money that Paul once put aside is so that he didn't have to collect it when he comes. Sounds like a church treasury.
Okay, go ahead and do that last paragraph.
Okay. Some of the ways the church worships in assembly are also appropriate for an individual. One may praise God in song or offer prayers to God in private as well as in public. Similarly, giving is not restricted to the assembly, but is an important means of public worship. Generosity is stimulated. Priorities are rearranged when believers see one another giving so that the cause of Christ may prosper. In their giving, Christians stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:24.
Okay. So we can see from these two paragraphs here that it's not only just for a crisis situation we need to give for other reasons that's going to still benefit the whole, the group. Just because it's not benevolent boxes, we still need other things that have to be taken care of. And we know from the fact that all we have to do is come in here and it's 20 degrees. If it's not comfortable, we're going to speak about it. If we come in here and it's 90 degrees, if it's not comfortable in here, we're going to speak about it. You know, if you go to the restroom and you go to wash your hands and don't know water come out of the sink, we're going to speak about it. You know, so we have needs.
Yeah.
We know this. And so we give for more than just one reason, and we give collectively. But it's for the benefit not only the needy, but for us also, and to carry on the work of the church. And even if we had someone that didn't know about God, you know, it's funny how, I like to use this example. If you come into an area and you see a crowd of people running at you, what you going to do?
Run with them.
So if you have someone that comes in and they don't know about God, if all of us are giving, they may be motivated to give also. And in time, maybe they will learn the reason of why they give. As Rusty said, that makes sense.
Because when people really don't have it to give, and that's why churches have lost people and you're still losing people,
mm-hmm.
because money, you know, situation and how you bring it to them, and how you, some churches beat people over the head about giving,
mm-hmm.
okay? And if I don't have it to give every week, yes, if I have it to give once a month, whether I divvy it up or not, as long as I'm giving it, this is God, this is what I got.
Lord, for the first of this month. It's yours. This portion is yours, whether I divvy it up or not. Mm-hmm. And if you be throwing all that stuff at a newcomer, some old comer too. You know, it you got to bring it in a way that they understand it and right. Have a way that they...
And that's why it's so important to discuss it.
Yes.
And to share people's ideas. Because, again, some people were raised in the Catholic Church. It was different. Mm-hmm. Some people were raised Church of Christ. Giving was different. Life experiences were different for people. And also, as you mentioned, that far too often, many within the Brotherhood browbeat for not only money, but for other things as well. And so, but it's a sin to divide the church, whereas, like we mentioned earlier,
we
need to grow
and
mature and have these Bible studies and come to understand these and hear about other examples of how it was done, especially in the past. Yeah. Which we find that it was acceptable, because if it wasn't acceptable, we would have also been informed about that it, no, once a month is good. Well, we don't hear that. Mm-hmm. We hear every week. So our goal is to follow the examples that was good enough for them, should be good enough for us. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I've got to say this, because the Lord is talking right here in Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Mm-hmm. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven.
Right.
So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets.
Right.
Or as the hypocrites do in the synagogues on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Mm-hmm. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And he always does. Amen?
Amen.
So let me finish with this.
No,
Romans 12 and 5.
That was a scripture.
Romans 12 and 5. So in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously.
Yes.
So we all have our gifts.
Yes, we do.
But also our responsibilities and obligations. Because one may have a special gift, granted, as spoken here, a special gift. They're not released from all the others.
Right.
And the main reason is to serve God.
Right.
The main reason. Keeping the main thing,
the main thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes. Yeah, well, we got 5 more minutes.
Oh, good. Okay.
At least, baby. I'm going by my time, so. But I hope that this discussion that we had, like I said, I wanted to give us some basis of what we can say to people. Not all the time you want to run into people like that. But sometimes you might, and in a conversation, anywhere, and it may not even come to mind at that particular time. But trusting in the Lord, He's going to give you the right thing to say and try to point them in the right direction. Now, some people are going to just want to argue with you and give you word for word. Don't get caught up in that, and don't put yourself in a position where you're unbecoming as a Christian, trying to push your point across, because either they're going to accept it or they don't. We all have free will.
Mm-hmm.
God gives us that.
Mm-hmm.
He gives it to others just like He gives it to us. So we have an opportunity to, as I always said, our job is spread the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Do the best that you can do with that. And with that, the lesson is yours. Thank you all for the participation.
Thank you.